go into the word. As we enter your word tonight, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that I would speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. I've asked us to put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically here present, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring in out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. This is our school of perfection. We're teaching on Christian perfection, using the Lord Jesus Christ both as our goal as well as our pattern. Perfection is simply a spiritual condition in which this residual sin nature that is in our soul and in our bodies, which the Bible collectively calls the flesh, is totally and completely dominated and cleansed out and removed. In order to appreciate this, you have to understand that when we get born again, the sin nature is totally eradicated from the inner man, the spirit, but there are still vestiges of it in the mind, the will, the emotions, as well as in the physical body. That is why all of us have experienced as Christians, even though you're a child of God, you're born again, many times you do things you don't want to do. The Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. It says it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. And Paul qualifies that in the book of Romans. He says, I know that in me, then he qualifies it. That is in my flesh, not in my spirit, but in my flesh, in the soul and in the body, dwelleth no good thing. The good news is that we can and should use the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to dominate this sin nature and then gradually clean it out, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us, the responsibility is ours, even though it is God who will help us to do it, but God will not take the initiative. You take the initiative and ask God to help you, then God will take hold together with you against and help you to clean out the sin nature. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting, that's where we get that word perfection. Holiness and the fear of God is a process. It's not instantaneous. It happens over time. And so we use the blood, the word, and the spirit to operate what we call the seven pillars of wisdom, which simply are the seven principles of the Christ life that Jesus himself used when he was on earth, symbolically hidden in the book of Proverbs, prophesied by Solomon thousands of years before Christ came. He says, wisdom hath built a house, she's hewn out of seven pillars. Jesus, picking up on this in the New Testament, says, upon this rock, revelation knowledge, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And simply they are honesty and humility of heart, which both constitute the fear of God. Then praying in the spirit. That was Jesus in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers, supplication with strong crying and tears, binding the devil, you know, speaking God's word, meditating God's word, practicing God's word, fasting and prayer, and living a fasted life. These seven principles, using the blood, the word, and the spirit. And you find that each principle, you use the blood, the word, and the spirit. Honesty of heart, you use the blood, the word, and the spirit. You know, praying the spirit, use the blood, word, and the spirit. You know, binding the devil, use the blood, word, and the spirit. Confession, use the blood, word, and the spirit. You know, meditation, use the blood, word, and the spirit. You know, practicing the word, you use the blood, word, and the spirit. Fasting and prayer, use the blood, word, and the spirit. So you use the blood, the word, and the spirit to practice these seven principles. And as you do that over a period of time, the Holy Spirit working in and through you will clean out by his power the sin nature. And when all of it is out, that condition is what we know as perfection. It's not a utopia. It doesn't mean you can never sin. It doesn't mean you know everything. It's just the same condition that Jesus was born into when he was born of a virgin, because he had no sin nature in him, and Adam was created in the Garden of Eden. That's why Jesus is called the last Adam. Incidentally, you know, the fact that Adam was born sinless doesn't mean he couldn't sin. He did sin. So the fact that you're imperfection doesn't mean you cannot sin. But sin will no longer be a habit, you know, and if you do sin, you can quickly get rid of it using the blood, the word, and the spirit. So it is an easy condition to maintain and grow in. And when you grow into perfection in that condition of maturity, you come to a place where God can trust you with a spirit without measure, having been tested over time, you know, to dominate and overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Then you inherit the spirit without measure, which is what we see in the ministry of Jesus. For years, I used to think that, you know, because we say we're filled with the Holy Spirit, so we can do the works Jesus did. That's true, but it's not totally true. The measure of the Spirit that we have when we get born again, the Bible calls it the earnest, you know. But the measure that Jesus had was the Spirit without measure. Now, you must understand that Jesus himself did not have the Spirit without measure at the beginning. He didn't have it when he was a baby in Bethlehem. He certainly didn't have it when he was 12 years old. You know, he didn't get it until he was 30 years old. So you have to understand that he grew. So we also, in the same manner, we grow. And one of the big problems the church has had in our presumptuousness is that we're trying to do, you know, the things we see in the four Gospels that is being operated by Spirit without measure with the limited spirit with measure that we have. And we fall flat on our faces. You know, you see Jesus turning water to wine. In all my years, I've been a Christian now for 43 years. I got born again in 1979. You know, I got born when I was 20 years old. I'll be 63 this year by the grace of God. All these years, I have never heard of anybody in the church turn water to wine. I have never read about it in church history. It may have happened, but I have not read about it. You know, you don't hear of things like that. Why? Because we don't have the Spirit without measure. You know, walking on water, you know, maybe occasionally God did that, you know, gifts of faith and workings of miracles, you know. But you don't see what we see in the ministry of Jesus on a consistent, regular basis in the church. Why? We didn't understand this years ago. We have the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. But the measure of the power of the Holy Spirit that we're filled with is a earnest. It's not the one without measure, which comes only by spiritual growth, as I've explained, into perfection, where your character has been perfected. Because if God were to entrust you with that kind of power, without perfecting your character, you will misuse it. Even the little one that we have now is being misused. Talk less of the Spirit without measure. But the good news is that we're now in the time of the season where this is now available. Jesus said the third day I'll be perfected, talking about the 21st century, the third millennium from his birth. And with this, in this time now, these two experiences I've spoken about, cleansing perfection and then manifesting perfection, where we have the Spirit without measure in manifestation, is now available and is actually a necessity in order to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to make disciples in every tribe, tongue, and kindred and close the age. I must repeat this. I'll be talking more about this on Sunday when I'll be talking about, you know, what's going on now with Ukraine and Russia and all of that. God gave me a present truth word, which I will be sharing, which I call a season of war and peace. We're entering that season now. You know, good news is that peace will prevail over war, but there will be wars. There will be wars. Satan is the one who's trying to, you know, do that. But they won't last long, and they will not be as destructive as people think they will be, you know, and they will be overcome. That's good news. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Now, and this is going to take this Spirit without measure and the power that is being generated in the place of intercession to effect the peace, you know. And so it's this Spirit without measure that we will use to do these great miracles that Jesus did on the same level, you know, healing the sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead. They will become common. They'll be as common as tongues is now, particularly the healing of the sick will be as common as tongues is. You know, cleansing the lepers will be common, maybe not as common as healing the sick. Raising the dead too will be common, but not as common as, you know, cleansing the lepers, but they'll be common. And they'll be commonly reported both in the social media, television, you know, it will be known. You know, this fulfilled scripture just came to my heart. You know, if you look at Isaiah 61, you find Isaiah 59, 60, and 61 are a trilogy. Isaiah 59 is the intercession that produces the glory of Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 is the glory and power that will produce the restoration, you know, in the nations that we see in Isaiah 61. And in particular, Isaiah 61, of many things that he says, one of the things he says, you shall be known as the ministers of our God. You know, the world will know because they will see it in manifestation. You will be known. Isaiah 61, 66. You know, quickly look at it. Isaiah 61 is a beautiful scripture. You know, Isaiah 61, yeah, there are plenty of other scriptures like this, but I just, you know, zeroed in on this. Yeah. Yes. You, the Bible says, you shall be named the priests of the Lord, and men shall call you. Not you call yourself. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of. The people will be bringing their offerings to the church. The church will become the richest financial institution on the face of the earth. We will not know what to do with money. Well, we will. Praise the Lord. We're going to use the money to disciple the nation, to make disciples in every nation, you know. And in their glory, you will boast yourself. Verse 7, you know, it says, for your shame, you see, church has had shame up till now. You will have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double, and everlasting joy will be upon them. I preached from this many years ago. You know, we're going to have a double anointing. They're going to have two levels of miracles. What we see in the Acts of the Apostles and the ministry of Jesus were basically physical miracles. Healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, and raising the dead. And they're great. And we don't, by any means, you know, put them down. But Jesus said we're going to see greater miracles. So we're now going to move from just physical miracles. We're going to see intellectual miracles given by the ability of the mind of Christ, which will now lead to political miracles, economic miracles, you know, environmental miracles, like what Moses did in Egypt. You see, physical miracles only affect individuals. The woman issue of blood alone was healed. You know, Lazarus alone was raised from the dead. You could choose to believe it. You could choose not to believe it. You could say, oh, maybe it's just the devil or something like that. But when it's environmental and it affects an entire nation, when it's economic and it affects entire nations and continents, like in the time of Joseph, then you have to pay attention to what we're saying. That's why God's going to step it up from just physical miracles to intellectual, political, economic, and environmental miracles. We taught all these prophetically years ago. And that's what's going to fulfill the scripture. It says, for your shame, you will possess the double. So it's going to be a double. It's not just going to be physical miracles. It's also going to be intellectual miracles, which is a precursor to all the other ones, political, economic, environmental, you know. And then it says in verse... It says, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with them. I'll direct their work in truth. And their seed, that is the seed of these ministers of God, both biological as well as spiritual. In fact, in its context, it's more spiritual than it is biological. Will be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among the people, and all that see them shall acknowledge that they are the seed. There's something you can't put in a corner. All. So all this is ahead of us. All this is ahead of us. The greatest years of your life are ahead of you. I didn't plan to say this, but I'm going to say it. Tell your children, both biological and spiritual, to get serious with God. And not throw away their inheritance for a piece of pottage. I tell my own children all the time. I say something big is coming. So you won't be ashamed when it comes. Because see, God's not going to give it to you just because you're my child. He's going to give it to you because you're spiritually qualified. You can't say amen, say oh me. A lot of our children at the moment, some of our children are not very serious spiritually. There are two reasons for that. The first reason is not totally their fault, because they grew up in a Babylon environment. You couldn't really help that. You know, they grew up in church, and then they have to go out. They go to school, they go to university, they mix with other people, they hear, see what other Christians are doing. You know, so they, well, you know. But that will change, because that's part of the covenant God has made with us. He said, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words that I put in your mouth will not depart out of the mouth of your children and your children's children. As this glory comes into manifestation, many of them will have what we call an epiphany. In other words, God will come upon them, you know, in a spectacular way that they have never seen before, and reveal himself to them, not as the God of your daddy, but as your God. And many of them will change. You see, because many of them already have good hearts. They already have honest hearts. Like my children, for example, to the glory of God, you know. They know the difference between, you know, a person who's just preaching for money and all of that. And they find it difficult to actually find good churches to go. That's between my own biological children. And they're all, you know, they're a little bit, you know, disenfranchised with, you know, that's not the right word. They're disappointed with a lot of the stuff that they see around. You know, and, you know, they'll say, well, you know, but all that will change. All that will change. And God will, you know, and then the grandchildren will be, I said this on Sunday, will be on a different ball game completely. You see, we grew up in Egypt. Then we were taken out of Egypt. Our children grew up in the wilderness, not in Egypt. We had left Egypt. But they grew up in the wilderness where we had all the Babylon and Dathan and Abiram and all the rubbish, you know. That's what they grew up to see. Amen? But our grandchildren are going to grow up in the promised land. They're going to grow up in Zion. And all they're going to know is Zion. Oh, my goodness. They will be like Jesus. You know, Jesus was spiritually ahead of his mom and his dad. What Jesus understood at 12, Joseph and Mary did not understand. So it is going to be with some of our grandchildren. What they will understand, some of their parents, depending on the parents, won't even understand. They will see things in the Word of God far beyond you. And they'll tell you, woman, what have I to do with thee? Please. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. So, that's what this is all about. So we're going to use this glory to close the age, you know, make disciples in all the nations, and close the age. It's important for me to reiterate, I say it all the time, but, you know, I discovered that the reason why the Bible is continuous repetition is because men are hard of hearing. God says something, he says, God speaks once, twice, yet men perceive it not. So many times God has to say the same thing to get through the veil of the sin nature. You know, you find, you ask yourself the truth, tell yourself the truth. You find that sometimes, you know, it's after you've heard me say something maybe about 10 times, they find that, oh, my God, that's what he's saying. Has that happened to you before? So that I now understand why, you know, God repeats the same thing over and over again. When we say disciples, I'm talking about Christians. Making disciples in every tribe, tongue, and kindred is not conversion. It's not getting them born again, which has been totally misunderstood. You know, oh, well, you know, they preach the gospel to the Yorubas, so the Yorubas have been discipled. No, they've not. I need at least 12 people like the apostles in Yoruba land. Let me stretch that. I need about 70 or 100 in Yoruba land that consistently heal the sick, cleanse lepers, and raise the dead. Then I have disciples in Yoruba. At the moment, we don't have them. I have a lot of believers, but very, very few disciples. And until we have that, until what? Jesus' ministry is the pattern. until we see what happened in Jesus. You see, Jesus did it for Israel. That's why he said, I've not sent you to the way of the Samaritans. It was it was a pattern for that's going to be reproduced for every tribe, tongue, and kindred. So what happened in Jesus' ministry for Israel is the pattern that we have to now reproduce in every tribe, tongue, and kindred. Those who grow into the fullness of Christ in that tribe, tongue, and kindred must now have under them a company, you know, anything between 20 and 100 of disciples who are following after and have what we call the borrowed anointing, which was what the 10 and the 70 had, 12 and the 70 had, you know, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Then they will now go and fan out in their entire tribe and be a witness. Then shall come to pass that which is written by the prophet, or which was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, that this gospel of the kingdom, this one, and it's not the gospel of healing and salvation, it's the gospel of the kingdom. Kingdom is dominion. Shall be preached in all nations for a witness. A witness only you see. So it is those disciples that manifest it, so that tribe will see it. Now that must be done in every tribe all over the world. In Nigeria alone, we have 400. Congo, places like China and Russia, you know, there are so many ethnic groups. And in some of those ethnic groups, they're not even people who are born again, as of today. Where they are born again, some are now filled with the Holy Spirit. When they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're certainly not disciples. So we've got quite a bit of work ahead of us. But the good news is that we'll be very equipped to do it. The finances, as well as the anointing, is through that measure. And with the technology we have today, you know, aeroplanes and all of that, you know, can do it in 20 years. Easy. Easy. Glory comes tonight, 20, 21 years, we've got the job done. And then we ship out of here in a blaze of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the plan. So in order to fulfill this, we're studying the life and the ministry of Jesus. And we'll go back to where we left off in our last lesson, Matthew chapter 1. Look at the genealogy of Christ, and we stopped in verse 17, which I didn't expatiate on. In my last lesson, we just looked at the genealogies, you know, and we saw the significance of Abraham, of David, and of Jesus. From Abraham to David was 14 generations. From David to the captivity to Babylon was 14 generations. From them to Christ was 14 generations. Now, I actually did a study on this afternoon. I heard it said over the years. I myself have looked at it. You know, but I just to be 100% sure, I went through it again. There are only 41 generations there, not 42. If you take each person as a generation, each name, counted, you find only 41. But the Bible says there are 42. So was it the error of the translators? No. We are the 42nd generation. Because to understand that, you have to understand that Jesus didn't have children, that he didn't have physical children. So who is his generation? Who is his generation? It's us. Now are ye Christ. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, not seeds. So that seed is Jesus, but Jesus has produced millions of us, that he might bring many sons unto glory. So we who become not Christians, but not just Christians, of course you have to be Christian first, you know, who become sons that grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ and manifest the glory of God, become the 42nd generation. And it is that 42nd generation that closes the age. Are you listening to me? Oh, yeah. You need to understand that. It is us of whom the scripture prophesies. It says that, you know, it's in Psalm 22. It says that it shall be, a seed shall serve and it shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. He's speaking about us. Galatians chapter 3. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Our promise is the promise of the Holy Spirit, both the partial anointing and the full anointing, the Spirit without measure. You know, so that is our destiny. We are this end time generation. And you know, I was thinking about it. You know, 42 is 7 times 6. Now, 6 is 2 times 3. So, 42 is witness of the perfection of completion. That's why we're the 42nd generation. We are a witness of the perfection of the completion of God's plan. So everything God had been planning, watch this, from Abraham, is consummated in us, the 42nd generation. It took 42 generations to get it done. Hallelujah. Abraham kicked it off by giving up Isaac, you know, and kicked the covenant into operation. Then from Abraham to David was 14 generations. God made a great promise to David. Solomon and his brethren messed it up. That's the word. They messed it up. Solomon had a unique opportunity. It really hurt God. But God was not, you know, nothing takes God by surprise. You know, because God has, watch this, because God has given us a free will, every time God makes a provision, he has a plan. Because he knows man can misuse the will. So, and then there's always a plan to, you know, that he can kick into. If, that's why, go and check all the promises to Solomon. He says that if your seed, he said, then shall not fail a man. It was everything. He says, if his children forsake me, he said, I will visit their transgression of the law with my rod, yet, nevertheless, my loving kindness will not depart from them. God's promise to David stood sure. But God said, if they misbehave, I will chasten them. But I will not make a full end. In other words, I will preserve and I will wait until I get faithful people over many generations, which is what God did. You know, Solomon misbehaved. Rehoboam did worse. You know, and then we had a lot of bad boys, you know. Then we had a few good ones, Jehoshaphat, you can see it in the genealogy. Jehoshaphat, Ezekiah, but even them weren't as good as they could have been, you know, right until, you know, God had no choice but to allow them to be carried away into captivity to chasten them. In Babylon, you know, God raised up a young man called Daniel. You know, and through the amazing, through the intercession of Daniel, primarily in conjunction with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God generated the spiritual power that effected the return, the restoration of Israel back to the promised land. You know, give Daniel a super clap offering. What Daniel did, I want to ask a rhetorical question. Who would you consider a greater prophet? Daniel or Elijah? Big question. You know, people will pick Elijah. You don't see Daniel raising the dead and all that. But what Daniel did was far more important. That's not to put down what Elijah did. Don't misunderstand me. Daniel, through intercession, prayed through the purpose of God for his generation. It was Daniel's intercession that produced Cyrus, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel, and caused the restoration of Israel back to the promised land. Then the generations started counting again. It's from Zerubbabel, we now come down to Jesus. And it doesn't matter how you count it, whether you do it from Joseph, who was his stepfather, was his biological father, you know, or whether you do it from Mary, you will find that whichever line you come through, they follow that, you know, genealogical line. Give the Lord a clap offering. We're dealing with a God who knows what he's doing, you know. We're not dealing with somebody who's like us. He knows what he's doing, you know. So God, that's the significance of this 42nd generation. We are the 42nd generation that are going to consummate the seed of Abraham that was promised from the first generation Abraham down to us. Are you listening to us? Understand, and this is very, very important, brethren, that it is basically a spiritual genealogy rather than it is a biological one. You miss it if you only think it's biological. It is biological to some degree. It came through Abraham and all that. But when Jesus came, the seed through Jesus is no longer biological, it's now become spiritual. That's why you and I are the seed of David. Not physically, but spiritually. Jesus, watch this, Jesus himself was not physically the seed of David. Jesus came from God. Then he was planted into Mary, his surrogate mother. And his father, Joseph, was appointed to be his stepfather. So you can, through Mary and Joseph, you can trace him back to David. But biologically, he really didn't come from David. Oh God, if you can receive it, receive it. He is the son of David. Don't misunderstand me. That's why he's the root and offspring of Jesus. Root means he's the one who created David because he's God. That's why Jesus asked them, he said, who is the son of, who is David? He said, how come the scribes, you see, when you read your Bible on the surface, when you read the letter and you don't have the spirit, you see all kinds of silly things. Why do the scribes call Christ the son of David? He was trying to prove to them, I'm not the son of David. I am, but I'm actually not just the son of David, I'm the root and the offspring of David. So he said, how then, in spirit, does David call him Lord? If he's his son. For the scripture says, Jesus quoting Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies. If then he is his Lord, how can you now call him his son? He said, from that day, nobody asked him any question. You know what he was trying to tell them? I am that Lord that David spoke about. So he is the root. And then, biologically speaking, through the genealogy, he's also the offspring of David. So don't go and say, Pastor Olubi said he's not the son of David. He is. But, you know, what I'm saying is that biologically, if you went to go and do all the DNA and all of that, you're going to find God's DNA there. You won't find Joseph's DNA in Jesus' body. You won't find Mary's own. Because that holy thing we may be born of is called the Son of God. That's why he had to be born the way he was born, so he would not be a partaker of the sin nature. Had he been biological seed of David and the biological seed of Mary or Joseph, he would have been partaker of the sin nature. Give the Lord a clap offering. Somewhere. It's truth. Deep truth, but true. That's why he's the ruler. That's why he said, why do the scribes say, whose son then is he? Hello, somebody. So we are the 42nd generation. Hallelujah. We are the terminal generation. The generation that's going to close the age. The generation that's going to complete everything. Another way you can look at 42, I gave you 2 times 3 times 7, which is correct. But you can also look at it like this. You've got 3, you got 14 in 3 places. All right? 14 is 2 times 7. 2 is witness of completion. So you have the witness of completion of one generation. You have the witness of completion of the second generation. Watch this. Then you have the witness of the completion of the third generation. And 3 is God's number of perfection. So it is that third generation, the completion of it, that perfects everything. Give the Lord another clap offering. Amen. The 42nd generation. That's who we are. You need to understand it. Okay. Now let's move on and see what God tells us to do tonight. Again, I apologize. We started late, but I think God has still helped us. If we said the grace now, we've been blessed. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost, what I just said. See, Jesus was not born of a natural father. Today we understand it because we now understand IVF and surrogate mothers. Until that technology and that science was available, it was difficult to really understand the virgin birth. But it's easy now. We know today that a man and a woman, their sperm and their egg can be fertilized in a Petri dish, and the zygote, the embryo, can be planted in a mother, in a woman, that had nothing to do with the father or the mother. And the child will not have the DNA of the surrogate mother. It's going to have the DNA of the parents. That's what God did. Give him another clap offering. That's why he's called the Son of God. And that's why the scripture tells us that he is the only begotten of the Father. The only human being that was ever born that way is Jesus Christ. Give him a super clap offering. That holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. You and I are born by the Spirit. You know, Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. And then we have many brethren after him. But he is the only one who from his mother's womb was born as a Son of God. No sin. Another clap offering for the Lord. Another clap offering for God the Holy Spirit. What a job. You know what Gabriel told Mary? He said, "Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. You're going to have a son." He said, "How shall this thing be? Since I'm a virgin." He said, "The Holy Ghost will come upon me, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born shall be called the Son of God." We didn't know IVF, so they couldn't put it in the Bible. Didn't know surrogate mother, so he just said it the way. That's exactly what happened. The good news is that when you and I get born again, the same experience happens, but it happens in our spirit, you know, but our flesh still has sin. Because we were born of our natural parents. But Jesus was not born of any natural parents. Mary and Joseph were simply guardians on the earth. Now the birth, she was found a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, I didn't hear you, being a just man, that's why God chose him, he was a good man, you know, not willing to make her a public example, because in those days, if he had exposed her, they would have stoned her. Imagine, and she'd have died with the seed. So God had to choose a person whose character he knew. That would not be mercurial. That would believe the best. That, okay, maybe she did it, but I'm still going to try and cover for her. He had to choose a man whose the love of God has been developed in his heart to some degree. If he had chosen a man who was temperamental, it wouldn't have anyway. It had to be a man of Joseph's temperament. Even most men, even after the dream, some men will still not believe. Or they would have even opened their mouth before they got the dream. Maybe the minute Mary told her, "I'm praying of the Holy Ghost, call Holy Ghost." Hey! Go and tell all the neighbors and all the people. Come and see this foolish girl. That is why there are many things God will not tell you. you don't have the character or the temperament to handle it. You would have opened your mouth and spoiled a lot of things. Whereas if you have more, if you have the fruit of the Spirit, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, love is ever ready to believe the best. That man had those things. So God knew if he told him, he won't react. He said, while he thought on these things, so there was a time period. He said, in a dream, the angel appeared to him and said, don't worry, Mary's telling you the truth. She hasn't slept with anybody. It's me who did it. And you know what? Joseph believed. Not every man will believe. He said, maybe I ate too much. That's why I had that funny dream. Okay, what kind of dream is it? They even call it the devil. Bind the devil. No, you can now understand why there are a lot of things God doesn't tell us. Most of us don't have the character or the temperament to handle certain levels of information. We would have overreacted and spoiled the plan of God. How many times have God, you know, shown things to people and they've messed it up by opening their mouths too quickly? And with a little bit of patience, God would have said, this was happening. It's true that happened, but this is the reason why. Patience is very important. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make a public example, and then his love again. He knows what will happen if he goes and tells people. The girl will be ostracized, and then she'll be stoned. Let's even assume Mary had made a mistake. Do you understand? And had sex with somebody else, which didn't happen, of course. You know, even out of love and care for her, I don't want her stoned anyway. So what he did was the next best thing. You know, I don't believe that story about virgin, but all right, okay, she's done it. You know, so I'll just say that something happened and we decided not to, you know. That kind of man is the man that God can walk with. Not the man who is always angry, temperamental, mercurial. Not willing to make her a public example. I was not willing to disgrace her. Not willing to subject her to stoning and insult. He was minded to put her away privately. In other words, I'm going to do this quietly so that Mary will be protected. You know, even if what she did was wrong. But while he thought on these things, give the Lord a clap offering somebody. See, that's why it's good to be patient. Give God space to move. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. It's very interesting that it's a dream, not even a vision. You know, a vision would have been more powerful. What Mary saw was a vision, not a dream. But what Joseph saw was a dream, which he could have explained away. You know, God, a vision is much more spectacular than a dream. A vision, you know, you're not sleeping. But a dream, well. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. In other words, that's the reason why you were called, why you have been chosen. So that your genealogy will go back to David. That it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And that settled Joseph. And she shall bring forth a son. I didn't hear you. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Jehoshua. You know, in Hebrew it's Yeshua. Hamashiach. Jehoshua, you know, is really Joshua. You know, it means Jehovah is salvation. And that's what he did. He fulfilled that in his life. Came to save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, ah, look at this. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He goes back to Isaiah. This was prophesied thousands of years. This is how you know the Bible is the Word of God. Thousands of years before Joseph or Mary were ever born. God knows what He's doing, folks. Don't be afraid. When we say God is in control, He's truly in control. And look at how God watches over His word to perform it. At the time God said that thing through Isaiah, it will look as if this can never happen. Watch this. He says it through Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7. Do you understand? We go through Isaiah 7 to 60, nothing happens. Ezekiel, nothing happens. You know, then Daniel, nothing happens. You know, all the minor prophets up to Malachi, nothing happens. We're looking at 100. It will look as if it will never come to pass. That's why that's one of the reasons why God gave us the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing. So when you read things like this, then you will know that what you've been believing God for 5 years or 10 years is no problem. It looked as if it would never happen. 400 years after Malachi, nothing happened. Then one fine evening, an angel flies from heaven into a city called Nazareth and comes to this 18, 19-year-old girl and says, "Hail Mary." And then it happened. So many times, that's why you cannot, if you don't walk with faith, you cannot please God. Faith is accepting what God has said without any physical evidence. Sometimes it takes time. He says, and when the fullness of time was come, God is working in your situation. And you're not looking at time ranges of 1,000 years or 100 years. Yeah, in our own cases, most of our time ranges are anything from, 6 months to maybe 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. Come on, that's nothing compared to this. So believe God. It will come to pass. Amen. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, an obedient man. You know, at the time these things happened, only two people on the earth knew what happened: Joseph and Mary. That's why it's good to be faithful. There's some people, your mouth is just too big, and God can tell you a lot of things. Nobody knew about this virgin thing, birth. Everybody assumed that Joseph and Mary slept together. The only two people on the earth who knew were Joseph and Mary. It was after Jesus was born, and it became, that they now told people the full story. And God has to be able to trust you. Learn to keep your mouth shut. It's not everything God tells you that you should say now. And he didn't know her until she had brought forth her first son and called him Jesus. I don't want to be controversial. I'm going to close with this. Then we'll take it from our next lesson. A lot of people say, Mary was a virgin and they never had any sex together. That's not true. The Bible says still. Amen. Jesus had four brothers. And they were born by Mary. Of course, after having Jesus, she was no longer a virgin. A virgin cannot give birth to a baby. It was a supernatural conception, but, by the time the baby came out, it broke the hymen. So certainly, she was no longer a virgin. And then after Jesus was born, and it would come, she and her husband had relations together. He had four, and we know he had sisters. We're not told how many. Amen. So, some of our brethren, and so some people, religious people say, "Oh, she's a virgin, and she was, and Joseph never touched her, and that's why they call her the Holy Mother." It's not true. I just wanted to break that tradition. It's not true. Amen. Mary was an ordinary woman. She did have Jesus, and then after that, she had other children. Okay? Stand to your feet.
Hallelujah. The 42nd generation. I'm looking at you. The generation of destiny. The generation that will close the age. The generation that will perfect the witness of God. First generation, 2 times 7, witness of completion. That generation was completed. Second generation, witness of completion. And the third generation, witness complete and perfected it. That's our destiny. That's who we are. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Lord, I stand in the midst of a multitude
of those from every tribe and tongue.
We are your people.
We are your people.
Redeemed by your blood.
Redeemed by your blood.
Rescued.
Rescued from death.
By your life.
By your life. There are no words good enough to thank you. To express our praise, but I will lift up our voice
and sing from our hearts.
Sing from my heart with all of my strength.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the Lamb, hallelujah, hallelujah. By the blood of Christ we stand. Every tongue, every tribe, every people, every land.
Oh,
giving glory, oh, giving honor, giving praise unto the Lamb of God.
We start again, Lord. We stand in the midst of a multitude. The multitude of the 42nd generation.
We stand in the midst of a multitude
of
those from every tribe and tongue. We are your people,
redeemed
by your blood,
rescued,
rescued from death.
By your life,
there are no words good enough to thank you.
There
are no words to express our praise.
Ha ha!
So we will lift up our voice,
yes,
and sing from.
Strength.
All of our strength.
Hallelujah.
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 To the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
By the blood of Christ we stand.
Every tribe.
Every tribe.
Every tribe.
The second verse.
Lord, we stand.
Lord, we stand by your grace in your presence.
Cleansed by the blood.
Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We are your people.
Redeemed
by your blood. Humbly. As we pray,
hallelujah.
Release your power.
Release your power
to work in us,
to work in us and through us, till we are changed to be more like you.
Glory to God.
heaven, Lord,
all the nations will see
your glory revealed.
Your glory revealed.
And worship you. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
By the blood of Christ,
He
stands.
Every
tribe,
every people,
every land,
every land,
giving glory,
giving glory,
giving honor,
giving honor,
giving praise,
giving praise unto the Lamb.
Hallelujah!
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 The Lamb.
Hallelujah.
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 Every
tongue.
Every tongue.
Every tribe.
Every people.
Every people.
Every
land.
Every land.
Giving glory.
Giving honor.
Giving praise
Put one hand on your heart and raise the hand.
Release your power to work in us and through.
Oh, sing it from your heart.
Till we are changed.
It's a prayer.
To be more like you.
Oh, yes.
Then all the nations will see
your glory.
Worship you.
Hallelujah.
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 To the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
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 By the blood of Christ we
stand.
Every tribe.
Every tribe.
Every people.
Every people.
Giving glory,
giving honor,
giving praise,
giving praise
unto the Lamb.
Raise that hand.
Of God.
Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure as I pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for opening my eyes to see my prophetic destiny, that in this day and time, I am a part of this 42nd generation that represents the perfection of the witness of the completion of the generations from Abraham to Jesus that will close this age. Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, so I will live worthy of this vocation. That this will be more important to me than anything else, because in it, all other things will be fulfilled. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Reveal it to me personally in my own heart, so that I will live worthy of this vocation, fulfilling my destiny as a member of this 42nd generation that will perfect the witness of the completion of the generations of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Raka klomatolomatu fridesk. Lord Holy Ghost, thank you. Jelika klomatolomatu fridesk. For your blood, la prikitolomatu fridesk. For your life, shelebrikitu fridesk. For your power, nangar tolomatushku fride. Ambredile to fridesk. In our souls, le prikitolomatoro de fridesk. In our bodies, lambrikitosko fridile mitoro desk. In our circumstances, rikotolomatu fridesk. In our regional heavenlies, rikotu fridesk. Dongaro Jelekiko Rico Tolomatufre insufficient measure. Nea Tolomostofrede Nombre Dufreshe. In Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, these things of which we speak cannot be done by people who are weak or sickly. You have to be strong. You have to be in good health. That's why God made healing and prosperity an integral part of the gospel. Because he knew that without those two things, you cannot fulfill the purpose and the calling for which he's called you. You're not supposed to be used, you know, to fulfill the lust of the flesh. No, far from it. They're supposed to be used to fulfill this destiny. If you need healing for your body now, touch your body wherever it is. Stretch forth your hands as an act of faith. If you're at home, stretch forth your hands towards your device. Father, I release healing power. It's already in the air. I release it into the bodies of everyone that is stretching forth their hands now in faith. I say, be thou made whole in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of infirmity. I cast you out. I destroy your works. I resist and I bind you. I come against spirits of fear, of doubt, of depression, of oppression. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. I release and impart the spirit of soundness of mind, the ability of the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. I want to say something. I think it's very important. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said that my speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words of men's wisdom, but by demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When I look at my life, I'm talking about me now, Olubi Johnson, and I look at the lives of many Christians around us, and particularly our generation, our own children, all of that, I see that what made the difference between me, my wife, and others like me, you know, our generation, those of us who got born again in the 70s, early 80s, at the time we got born again, there was still a significant amount of the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Many of the people who got born again of that had very little of that. Most of them got born again on hype. Entertainment, you know. It came to me, the Holy Spirit said I should talk about it just briefly. See, when I got born again, I had a miracle in my life instantly. I stopped smoking instantly without trying. It was a sign to me that what I had experienced was not just religion. I didn't get born again going to a church. I didn't get born again in a crusade ground. It was in the quietness of my room, but there was a supernatural. Months later, in England, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in Aramaic. Those are experiences nobody can take away from me. And I now understand what Paul said. My faith was not with the enticing words of men's will, but by demonstration. One of the problems we have with this present generation is that they have not seen a significant amount of the power of God in manifestation. So they don't take the things of the Spirit too seriously. Most of it is head knowledge, you know, hype, you know, a little bit of the miraculous here and there, but probably not sufficient. When we got born again, I remember in the late 70s and in the early 80s, my own Olubi Johnson experience, which is also true of many of people of my generation, you know, we got born again to the supernatural. In practically every meeting, there was either prophecy or tongues or interpretation, healings, not this fake thing that we see today. The real thing. Maybe even IVCU, I still remember. You know, hardly any Sunday there will be some prophecy, you know, with tongues and interpretation. You know, people like Brother Fred Adigo, K. Friday, Beki, you know, Francis Wally, okay. I will never forget one day, Wale Oke was ministering in IVCU. And I walked in. He used to be the president of the IVC of Lagos. So he was invited to Ibadan here. I walked in. And I heard Wale Oke said, "As I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth will be filled with my glory." Preaching from Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. I came from a faith background. I hadn't heard things like that. It had such an impact on me. What I'm about to say, I have not said it publicly, but I'll say it. When God spoke to me to leave Brother Emiko and to go and start, you know, just to go and pray and prepare myself, God gave Wale Oke a vision. I can say this publicly. If he's listening, he will know. He said, "OJ, come. He said, "This is what God showed me." I said, "Eh." He said, "I saw a vision. I won't go into all the details, you know." He said, "And you and I and some other people, you know, there was this company and there was this big place and some of us crossed over to the other side." I told him, I said, "It's correct." I received it. Those kind of experiences were common in those days. In England, Pastor Porter and Miss Porter, they would do tongues and interpretation. Supernatural. I knew no man had nothing to do with it. So my faith did not rest in the wisdom of men. It's different from a lot of this generation. Majority of our generation, this present generation, know very little about the supernatural power of God. And that is why their Christianity is so shallow. All they know about Christianity is prosperity and so-called breakthrough. But they don't really know, you know. My wife, she got born again, then filled with the Holy Spirit, began to do a lot of intercession. I've experienced, you know. There was a time she didn't have petrol in her car. The petrol stayed for weeks. It's a true story. When she was a student in the village, you know. I don't know what they call it now. Aolo-ho. True story. I could tell you story after story after story of miraculous, supernatural events. So we knew we were not dealing with man, but with God. Brother Fred Adegoke, Friday Beki. You know, one of the reasons why we still have such a bond is that as young men, I was 23. You know, 24, you know, they were all in our 20s. Those who were a little bit older than me were maybe 27, 28, 30, you know. Practically all of us had supernatural experiences. Visions, prophecy. I'll tell you one last one. The year was 1983. My wife and I had just started our relationship. So we went to Ilorin because Brother Fred's brother, Charles, who is with the Redeemed Christian Church of God now, is a big, one of their big area pastors in Brazil or somewhere. You know, we're still very good friends. Was getting married. So we went and we stayed in Brother Fred's dad's house, you know. Then we went for the wedding and all of that. Then after that, Wale Oke organized a conference which is called Holy Ghost Convention, something like that. But it was in Ilorin. I've forgotten the name. You know, and we all went for it, you know, after the wedding. It was September 1983. True story. So when we got to that convention, you know, it was preaching and teaching. I think I even preached, you know, I can't remember. You know, Wale Oke and many of the people, you know, Wale Adekoya of blessed memory. Quite a number of us there. David Oyedepo. So you know what happened? In that meeting, Fred still remembers that meeting to today.
I think it was Becky. It was Friday, Becky. He brought a prophetic word that I can never forget. He had a vision. And they were this group of people. It actually came from Joel chapter 2, looking back now. But he just prophesied. Said in the end time, in this Nigeria, there's going to be a group of people. He said their legs will not touch the ground. Glory to God. And they were going to carry the glory of God. And you know, you know, they will not break rank. All the things you see in Joel chapter 2. Power. I can never forget that prophecy. We and Fred, we still talk about it till tomorrow. Ah! And we all said, we must be a part of that thing. It may drove us back into the word and all of that. At the close of the meeting, David Oedipo now says, oh, God has spoken to him to go to Kaduna to go and start a church. That's how Living Faith started, and then later on became Winners Chapel. So please, brethren, let's pray. So we put David Oedipo in the middle. You know, I was there, Wally Oke was there, and Fred, and quite a number of other guys. And we all, my wife was a relatively new Christian. She'd just been born again, maybe about 6 months. But she would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and she knew how to pray. So we all laid hands on David Oedipo, that God will help him and bless him and send him off into his ministry. I'm talking about the supernatural. See, that's the difference between us and this other generation. And as we prayed, words of prophecy came and all of that, you know, about, you know. And then we all laid hands and we all prayed in tongues. My wife was not telling me, because she was a new Christian and she wasn't used to. She hadn't seen some of these things. She said, honey, she said, I saw something, though. I said, what did you see? He said, when all of you are praying for me, say, fire was coming out of your mouths. True story. Fire. I said, oh, it's just the Holy Ghost. I said, just the Holy Ghost. And look at how God has helped. It's 40 how many years now, you know. What am I saying? I met David Oedipo on the plane about 10 years ago. You know, I was going to England or something, and he happened to be on a plane. You know, I was in business class. I think he was in first class. And he came to see one of his associates who was sitting not too far from me. So when he now saw him, he greeted him, and then he saw me, ah, OJ, and everything. So he sat down. So we all started talking. We started gisting and talking and everything. You know what he said to me? He said, the difference between us and this generation that is following us is that when we answered the call of God, we didn't see any Mercedes. We didn't see big cars. There was nothing. The motivation was pristine. It was pure. And we now talked and laughed about, you know, how we prayed for him before he went. And, you know, we cracked jokes and said, okay, we'll see. And I think when we came back to Nigeria, I saw him once or twice. But the point I'm making is this. And that's why God had me to talk about it tonight. Get into the supernatural. Christianity is not natural. It is supernatural. And until you taste the supernatural, your faith cannot be as. That your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's the difference between us and a lot of this generation. Good news. I have to close with good news. I said it during the preaching, and that's why God had me expatiate it. An epiphany is coming. You know what an epiphany is? It's something that comes from heaven. Many of our younger generation, and even some of us, you know, are going to have a visitation. The kind of things I'm talking about and greater. Diversity of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, dreams, supernatural that nobody can contest. Then it will no longer be Pastor Olubi telling you. It will no longer be Mommy Sarah telling you. You'll be on fire. And our children too. And our children's children. The spirit that is upon me will not depart
That's a point. And my words in your mouth will not depart out of your mouth and the mouth of your seed. Our children and their own children have to have the same kind of visitation we had from heaven, and even greater, to be able to watch this. Take them through the perilous days that are ahead. What is ahead is not child's play. A Christianity that is not solid and rooted will not stand. Two-thirds will be cut off. You've got to be rooted and grounded in the power of God. So when the challenges come, you will just smile. Say, my God is bigger than this. You'll be like Joshua and Caleb. Say, they are bread for us. The difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other 12 spies was that the other 12 spies saw the giants. Joshua and Caleb saw the God that is bigger than the giants. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah.